Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to my beautiful planet Earth. I want to welcome you to It's All About You, the radio program that is celebrating life, prosperity, and unlimited potential. And I'm your host, I'm Darian Marshall, the happy guy, because Monday is my favorite day, because I get to do my show, I get to learn, I get to share information with the world. It's just an exciting time for me. And this week is no different than the other weeks. I have a wonderful lady. Her name is Susan Campbell, or Dr. Susan Campbell, and she's author of this fantastic new book called 5-Minute Relationship Repair, Quickly Heal Upsets, Deepen Intimacy, and Use Differences to Strengthen Love. So we're just going to get right into the interview because, you know, I know you're used to me always talking and running my mouth about things, but I don't really have anything new to share with you this week. So we're just going to get right into it. Welcome to the show, Dr. Susan Campbell. How are you?
I'm great, Darian. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing
happy,
great.
Happy, I heard. I heard.
Yeah, I'm always happy on
Monday.
Congratulations on your new book.
Thank you.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, it just came out this month. So we're not kidding.
It is new. Super new. You know, as most of the people who listen to the show, and they know me, I am just a big fan of covers, and I love the cover. It looks like a watch in the shape of a heart.
Yes, it's like the image of a stopwatch in the shape of a heart, because,
mm-hmm.
of course, the book title, 5-Minute Relationship Repair, implies something going on kind of fast.
Very nice, very nice.
You want to help people realize it doesn't take forever to repair. Most people just avoid talking about something after it's over for fear of making things worse or something. But my co-author, John Gray, and I, we urge people to repair as soon as possible and as quickly as possible. Because if you take more than 5 minutes to do the repair, and that means basically making up after a fight or going back and talking to somebody about what you really meant if you feel like you haven't said things clearly or honestly. So that's what repair looks like. And if you don't do it quickly, then those memories of a bad taste in your mouth about the other person can linger in long-term memory and cause deeper problems as you go along.
Mm-hmm, very good. Now, what do you mean when you say, when you talk about staying on your own side of the net when it comes to communication?
Well, this is a communication tool that's just a reminder for people to stick with, when you're trying to be understood by somebody, stick with what you feel, what you think, what you see, and refrain from telling the other person what's going on in their head. You don't want to say, I see you're angry with me. You can say, I see that look on your face, and I'm afraid you might be angry with me.
Okay.
Are you? But if you start telling somebody you see something that's going on in their mind, that's often the beginning of a fight right there.
You know, I never thought about that. I'm thinking back on all the little silly disagreements I've had over the years, and a lot of it had to do with me saying, you know, I guess you need to just calm down, because I can see you're getting hot and bothered now, you know. I never thought about that. So, and what happens? A person, when you say that, do they feel like, oh, now you're telling me who I am and what I'm doing? Is that what happens?
Oh, really, it's just an avoidance of saying what you're really needing to say. Because when you're telling somebody else what they're doing or saying, you're usually in some kind of a fear state and you don't even know it. Or you're wishful thinking. I mean, sometimes you can say, I can see you, you know, you love what I'm wearing or something, and it's wishful thinking. Mm-hmm. But either way, yes, it makes the other person uncomfortable, but even more important, you're really unconsciously avoiding something that's a deeper, truer feeling. And so in our book, we try to help people get to the real, authentic feelings underneath the way people usually talk. So, you know, expressing a fear, like I'm afraid you're angry at me, is more vulnerable, it's more soft, and it's more truthful than saying, I can see you're angry at me, you know, that bold, blustering kind of tone of voice.
Yes, yes. So what distinguishes a secure functioning couple from less secure couples? Is there a difference?
Yeah. There is this term among marriage counselors called secure functioning. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that both people don't have their own insecurities, but a secure functioning couple is a couple that they quickly talk about an incident if it's upsetting them. They might say, gosh, that hurt my feelings. I need some reassurance. Can I have a hug? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas an insecure functioning couple will just clam up or they'll overreact to something. Instead of just confessing and revealing a feeling, they'll try to hide the feeling under something like, you know, well, you're always angry or what's wrong now? Or maybe very less aggressive, like people who just shut down, walk out, walk on eggshells. All of those things are things that the insecure functioning couples do. And you're obviously better off if you're a secure functioning couple, but if you can read this book and apply the tools here, even the most insecure couple, a couple who right now does a lot of blowing up or shutting down or walking on eggshells and all that, even the most insecure couple can learn how to function like a secure couple. And, of course, then everybody can speak with more relaxed, loving tones to each other, which is what we all want.
Now, of course, the big words here in your book, five-minute repair. Can you really repair something in 5 minutes? Is that really possible?
Yes, or can you can.
And
if you don't, sometimes what you're doing is you're taking too long to make a case for why that other person shouldn't be upset or over-explain yourself. Oh, I really didn't intend to do that, but here's what was really going on. But you take forever, and that actually creates distance between yourself and your partner. So we give people a script that actually takes less than 1 minute to deliver. We say 5 minutes because, you know, that's a little more convincing because sometimes you do have to sit with yourself for a while. After you've had an unfortunate communication incident, you need to look inward for a moment before you go back and fill out the script that we give people. And we give people a script that says, when I heard this, I got triggered. And we teach people to actually admit that they got a button pushed or that they had a reaction. And then they are counseled, and the script here that takes, like I say, about 1 minute to deliver, then the script guides them to say, here's the fear that was really underneath that big reaction that I have. And when I say big reaction, it could be a shutting down or a walking out kind of reaction.
Yes.
Clamming
yes.
up. It isn't always a yelling and screaming thing.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, we teach people in a very short order to say the words that are really the deeper truth underneath their accusations and their defenses. And it also, of course, is much easier to hear the way we've scripted it because we basically force people to talk about what really matters rather than some of the automatic stuff that people like to do, like judgments and defenses.
Well, when you say trigger, that you touched on a little earlier, exactly what do you mean when you say triggered?
Okay, triggered is a nervous system event.
Mm-hmm.
It means like something happens in your environment. And so let's all reflect on this now. Something happens. Somebody rolls their eyes while you're talking, or somebody walks out while you're talking. Maybe you're giving a lecture, you know, and they walk out just to go to the bathroom. It's not necessarily personal.
Right.
But something in you takes it personally, and your nervous system starts to go into either a fight, flight, or freeze reaction. And you know, we know that when a car is coming at us or something like that, or if we're, you know, about to have an accident, we're likely to go into fight or freeze, or can't really go into flight if it's a car, but those kind of nervous system reactions are kind of like an instant panic, like danger, danger. And the thing about our nervous systems, Darian, are that they're wired up to scan for danger. Just like in primitive times when we were being hunted by lions and tigers in the jungle. I mean, there was a time when it was useful for our nervous systems to be on red alert all the time, scanning for danger. But now you're just, you know, having dinner with your partner and, you know, you love each other, but, you know, the partner starts giving you advice and you were hoping that they would just empathize with you when you talk about, you know, how much work your boss loaded on you today at work. You know, you want to complain a little to your partner and they start saying, oh, well, you know, you should do this, you should do that. And that'll trigger people sometimes. I mean, there's tons of things that'll trigger people. It'll seem like danger. It'll seem like your partner is not on your side. And it's really simply because the nervous system is wired up to make a lot of false assumptions about danger, because in primitive times it was better to expect danger when it wasn't there than to have, you know, danger surprise you. So we're still like that. We still have that primitive part of our nervous system. We do have a higher brain too. And I was talking about secure functioning couples earlier, and secure functioning couples have stronger wiring between the higher brain that says, oh, this is, you know, this is your beloved. They're just, you know, doing what they think is helpful. They're not really insulting you. You know, your higher brain can remind your primitive brain that there's no danger. But a lot of us, the primitive brain isn't connected up as well to the higher brain as it is in the more secure people. And that has a lot to do with how you were raised as a child and whether you're nervous, whether you were given a lot of, you know, love and attention and care as a child, because those children, their nervous systems develop more completely. Whereas people who were neglected a lot or abused sometimes have a little more insecurity in their wiring, so their higher brain doesn't yet know how to reassure the primitive brain that, hey, this isn't really that dangerous. So what we do then in the book is we help people slow that whole triggering process down so you can calm yourself, calm that over-adrenalized nervous system, and then all of a sudden your higher brain comes back in. Again, even in the most secure people, if you can follow the instructions that we give people in the book about what to do when you're triggered, you can calm your own nervous system down and then get back into present time and say what really needs to be said.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you brought that up, because that happened to me a few years ago. I was giving a little Bible lecture, and someone, like you said, got up, and I knew why they were getting up. They were going to the bathroom, and it was a friend of mine, so I know it wasn't anything bad. But for some reason, when she got up and walked out, it threw me off. All I could think about was, you know, you're messing everything up. She's so bored, she had to go out and get some air. You're killing everybody.
Right.
You know,
your mind starts, this is another part of the triggering thing. I'm not going to totally interrupt you, but your mind starts to make up stories, too.
It really did. And I had to, and I didn't know about, I wish I had your book back then, but I had to actually, I stopped in the speech. I don't recommend this to people, but I said, listen, my mind has drifted off to something that totally threw me off. Give me a second while I pull it together. I did, and I closed my eyes.
I give speeches, too. I've done that before, and the audience is usually very sympathetic.
Oh, they were wonderful. They were, because I couldn't get it together. I kept trying to, you know, act as if it didn't happen.
Right. And see, that's what we usually try to do. We sort of pretend it didn't happen. But
right.
Then, let's say you're in an intimate relationship or something. Mm-hmm. Your partner kind of feels that you've gone away.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time you get together, you've gone away a little more until you repair things. You're not connected. And, like, you stopped in the middle of that speech so you could get present again, so you could connect with your audience.
Yes, yes.
That's a great example. I'm lucky because if somebody walks out in one of my lectures, I can easily talk, because I'm always talking about people getting triggered and what to do, so I can just weave it right into my content.
Right.
You know, I can say, oh, I think somebody just walked out. They probably just have to go to the bathroom, but I got triggered. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, I must be boring everybody. They're all going to walk out in a minute, and my heart's beating. And now, what if I just pause for a minute and ask myself, what am I actually feeling? And feel my body. This is what we counsel people to do. Pause. Like if you start to feel triggered, pause. Of course, if you're in the middle of a speech and you're not as courageous as you and I, as speakers, you know, I mean, that it's pretty courageous to do that. But as I say, I've done it too. But if you're not as courageous, you know, you'll just be going on automatic until you pause and check in with yourself. And it really helps to feel what's going on in your body and what's going on in your emotions. And then that connects you. And then you go, oh, my gosh, I'm triggered. Let me comfort myself a little bit and reassure myself that I'm really safe here. There's no tigers in the room. You know, that kind of reassurance.
Yeah, you also mentioned in your book that sometimes partners can actually co-trigger one another.
It's a good thing to realize that if you're in an intimate relationship, when I say partners here, we're talking about a marriage or romantic type relationship, although it can happen in families.
Yeah.
You know, anybody that has a strong emotional bond, when I'm triggered and my nervous system starts to get funny, you know, like I say, it can either be a blow up or a shutdown kind of thing, my partner can feel it. And all of a sudden, they start feeling insecure, too, even if I haven't said anything. It's like we're all connected, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But especially if we're in a close, interdependent relationship. It's like our subconscious is always scanning for, are we still connected to the one we depend on, or the one we love, or the one we need? You know, it's like a little kid, it's like mommy. If it's like a husband and wife, it's, you know, I call it the one you depend on. And so we're scanning for that. And if we see any break in connection, even if it's a misperception, we start to get agitated. And then that will break the connection. If I'm agitated, that'll break the connection between me and my partner. And then he'll start to feel agitated too. And then both of our minds start making up those stories like, oh, I'm probably the most boring person in the world, like you were talking about. And then you trigger yourself even more with your stories.
Mm-hmm.
Or stories like, I don't matter to him, or he doesn't care, or I can never please her, nothing I ever do is enough. Those are the common stories that our clients tell us.
Mm-hmm. If you're just tuning in, I'm having a great conversation with Dr. Susan Campbell, and she's author of the book, 5-Minute Relationship Repair, Quickly Heal Upsets, Deepen Intimacy, and Use Differences to Strengthen Love. And, of course, that book is available everywhere books are sold. And her website is www.SusanCampbell.com. And also stick around, because in about 5 minutes I have some positive affirmations I want to share with you during our meditation segment. Okay, so let's get back with our chit-chat with Dr. Campbell. Doctor, first of all, I notice on your website is gorgeous, by the way. It really is. And I notice, I had it right here in front of me for a second here. You have a lot of free things you offer, which is really nice. We all like free stuff.
I you know, if people are thinking of doing coaching with me, I'll spend a free 15 minutes on the phone with you to look at your situation and see if coaching is right for you and that sort of thing. I consider myself a relationship coach, but it doesn't have to be a couple situation. It can be any relationships at all. I work with work teams too, in businesses. Yeah, I offer that. I have a free newsletter where you can get useful tips and so forth. So, And I also, there's a monthly free group coaching call that I lead. So if you subscribe to my newsletter, if you go to SusanCampbell.com and subscribe to the newsletter, then you'll get notices about the free call. And it's a great community. It's a community of people who are into being more honest and authentic and vulnerable in how they communicate with one another.
Yes.
I talk about the difference between communicating to relate versus communicating to control. And relating is simply sharing your feelings in the interest of transparency, your wants and your needs, kind of the relevant things that need to be shared in a relationship. And controlling is trying to manipulate how other people see you so that they'll approve of you, so that they won't judge you, things like that. But being so focused on the outcome that you actually forget about your own here and now presence. You know, in this book and in all my books, I'm all about how to speak in a present-centered way. You know, presence, Darian, I think presence is the new sexy.
Yeah, it is.
People really like somebody who's present to their feelings, or who, when they walk into a room, you can feel that they're really in their own skin. And so that's the thing, that the tools that are in my books, that's what people will learn if they use these tools.
And that's why I like the book so much, because it's not just, because you think, like, for a boyfriend and girlfriend, husband and wife, it could be for pals, like two guys, two girls. I know there are a lot of principles in there that can be just used by anybody. You don't have to be in any kind of romantic relationship to really benefit from the information.
Yeah, when my publisher read the book, and of course it was pitched in the, I call it the metaphor of the couple. It's mostly about couples, but
yeah,
she does talk about how singles can use these tools. But she was saying, gee, don't limit it to that. I used it with some family members to clear the air, and it just came out really good using the tools in the book.
Very good.
To remind people that anybody can use these tools, and everyone needs them, because we all get triggered at times.
Yes, we do.
Sensitive spots, you know, on our egos.
Is there a way, that this just popped in my head, where, for instance, say if, like, I don't like arguing with people because I'll be up all night with a stomachache. At the same time, if it's something I feel needs to be discussed, I don't know if I'm wording this right, because I know I've had disagreements with people, and they would try to pull that positive thing where they just kind of nod and look at you and don't really respond. You know, they're peaceful and positive while you're losing your mind. And I kind of hate when that happens. I've seen it happen even with other people where one just stays calm, but it's not because they want to be peaceful. They're kind of being vicious while you're flipping out and going off. I'm just going to stand here and look at you, you know.
I understand. Yeah, I have a list. This is a whole, the tools we give in 5-minute relationship repair, it's a whole awareness practice. So one of the things that people seem to be ready, you know, the people who read books now, the self-help audience, they seem to be ready to be more self-aware of their automatic communication habits. And this whole smiling and nodding and kind of go along to get along, those personality habits are what I call control patterns. Their attempts to manage or control the other person, like that person smiling and nodding very often, just to seem like they're on top of the situation. They're trying to feel more in control than they really feel. Deep down, they're quaking in their boots, you know. They don't want to lose your friendship.
Yes.
But they're acting all nice and calm. And, I mean, I'm not saying everybody who smiles and nods is in a control pattern, but we have a list. It's about a 2-page list of different behaviors that are kind of manipulative, but people don't admit it unless they are reading a book and it gives them permission to kind of go, oh, yeah, I do that. Oh, yeah, and I'll act interested even if I'm bored. Mm. And, yeah, I'll pretend to like somebody more than I really do. And if somebody disagrees with me, I'll right away try to convince them that they're wrong. You know, all these different personality patterns that people are beginning to enjoy getting more onto themselves, getting more aware of these defense mechanisms so that they can drop to the next level of their humanity, which is more authentic. Everybody wants to be more authentic, really, but they just don't feel safe, so they use all these control patterns.
That's you said it right there. They just don't feel safe. Yeah, because so that just seems to be the end thing now. Anyway, everybody wants to be authentic, but you're kind of scared if I show too much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you want to know who who you can be authentic with.
Right.
And hopefully, you know, this book and my other books are contributing to the world of people being more self-aware, so they realize that they're not very authentic. Oh, my God, you know, I was in a control pattern. I was being phony. I was just trying to get approval and look good, even though deep down I was hiding what my real feelings and needs were. And, you know, people are open to realizing how much we hide and sugarcoat and pretend now. So that's the first step. It's like the first step in a 12-step program, you know.
The first step
is realizing that you have the problem. And honestly, right after that, it's a very short step to becoming more present, because you go, oh, there I am doing it again. There I am smiling and nodding again.
Yes.
Just to hope he'll hurry up and shut up and give me a turn to talk. You know, stuff like that. And you catch yourself, and you can smile at yourself, and you can have compassion for yourself when you take on the sincere wish to be a more authentic person. You can do it with a lot of self-humor and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And the attitude in this book basically says, hey, you know, we all have these control patterns, so don't be too hard on yourself.
Take some enjoyment
in learning about yourself.
That's another thing I like about the book. It's just sort of easygoing. It doesn't dump on you. It kind of relates with, like, look, well, we all do these silly things, but, you know, we can get through this.
Yeah, it's helping to have people have more self-acceptance about the common human foibles.
Yeah. You know, Doc, I think someone, you might have a call if I'm seeing this right. Oh, caller, you on the air? Hello, caller? Oh, maybe they're just listening in. Okay.
So uses a call-in show sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes people will call in with a question, but then a lot of times they'll call in just because it sounds clearer, and they can just listen in through the phone. So I just happened to notice that, but I just wanted to be sure.
Okay. And I know I've been on a lot of these call-in shows. Sometimes they'll chicken out and they'll hang up.
They get nervous.
Maybe we have room for that too, don't we, Darius?
Oh, yeah. Maybe they decided you cleared up what they were going to ask, you know, in your early examples, maybe. Okay, well, you know, it's about time for us to do our little positive affirmation segment. So I'm just going to invite everybody to just sit back and relax wherever you are. If you're listening to this while you're driving, it might be nice to pull over to the side so you can be totally focused. I just want to share with you some positive affirmations. So just take a nice deep breath and just relax. And allow all the cares of the day to just melt away. I am open and receptive to all the good of life. I trust in the divine source of all. I have faith and know I am successful in all that I do. I have the faith of the divine. I have the trust of God. I know that I am guided to experience only the highest and the best for me and all concerned. My life is truly magnificent. It is so wonderful to be alive. I live a remarkable life. I experience the good that comes from within. I am one with the all good of God. I am open, receptive, and available to receive the highest and the best. I allow the good of God to be fulfilled in my life, right here and right now. My life is truly magnificent. My life is fulfilled right here and right now. I have all that I desire to live a life of peace, grace, abundance, and love. I am the love that is God. Love guides me to my highest and best. I radiate love. I am the healing power of love. Love leads the way. My life is fulfilled, and I am perfect in every way. I am whole. I am complete exactly as I am. I release and I let go into the perfection of God. I do this for God's life is my life right here and right now. I know that all is well, and I just sit back, relax, and let things be. I am the place where heaven meets earth. I speak my word and create from a place of joy, grace, and love. It is truly wonderful to be me. It is truly wonderful to be alive. And so it is. You're listening to It's All About You, the radio program that is celebrating life, prosperity, and unlimited potential. And I'm your host, Darian Marshall, and my guest today is Susan Campbell, Dr. Susan Campbell. And she is author of the book, 5-Minute Relationship Repair, Quickly Heal Upsets, Deepen Intimacy, and Use Differences to Strengthen Love. Okay. You know, that last part of your subtitle to your book, mm-hmm. Using Differences to Strengthen Love. How is that actually possible? Or do you have an example?
Here's what often happens.
Mm-hmm.
In a relationship, you're going to be attracted to somebody who has often learned something very well that you haven't learned very well.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes say he's overlearned what I have underlearned. I'll give you an example. I was married to a man who was really good at taking care of himself, at relaxing, at just going with the flow of life. You know, he wasn't like a real super achiever.
Mm.
And I was drawn to him for that, and he was drawn to me partly because I had such personal power and recognition in the world, and, you know, I was like more of an achiever.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can imagine, first there's an attraction, and then there can be kind of a repulsion, you know, after a while, because that difference can create problems. But when you become more conscious of how differences can strengthen love and actually help you grow yourself, and we came to this, we realized, wow, you know, one of the reasons I'm with this guy, even though, you know, I was at one point irritated by the fact that, gee, he's taking such good care of himself and I'm working so hard, you know, that type of thing. But then I realized, wow, he's overlearned something that I've underlearned. He represents something to me that I need to learn in this lifetime, to relax, to take care of just the little things that are going to create a fulfilling life. And he actually got inspired by following me around on some of my gigs and stuff. He got inspired to realize he could do business too. He can be more expressed in the world with his talents. And so we took on learning what the other person already had. And that often happens on a subconscious level. People are different and they'll fight about their differences. But if you really look deeper into those differences, you'll realize that there's something, we call it the shadow part of myself, the part of myself that's undeveloped or unexpressed, that is almost forced to come out. Or if I don't learn to take better care of myself in this marriage, I'm going to start really resenting him. Mm-hmm. And likewise, he's going to feel so insecure when I go out to my gigs with all these high-achieving men that I'm going to meet. You know, he's feeling so insecure that he better develop that. Plus, he feels more fulfilled when he, you know, has a fulfilling work life.
Right.
So he realizes he better, you know, if he's going to be with me, he better round out his personal development more. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the ways that differences can not just strengthen love, but can create more personal development, personal evolution.
Well, that's a good example. I really like that. Real life.
It's real life. I mean, I say opposites attract, you know, like that example, and later repel. But then once they repel, there's a deeper work that gets to be done, like what I described, going, oh, what do I need to learn in this relationship without having to change my partner? What is it that I'm being called to change?
Mm-hmm. Very, very good. Yeah, it's funny, that's what makes these shows for me so exciting. You think they're going to go one direction, and then you find they're going another. I mean, I've learned so much tonight that I can't wait to use in my own relationships, even friendships. I mean, my goodness, I'm telling you, I wish I had this book a couple of years ago.
Friend of mine just wrote to me. He said, I was reading the book on the plane, and the flight attendant said something that I thought was rude, and I got my button pushed, and then I did some of the tools in your book, like pause and calm myself down, look at my deeper feelings, and bring some compassion to the hurt part of myself, because that's another thing, Darian, that we counsel people, is after you've been triggered, you feel and look inward. And what will often happen is you'll feel a feeling that's very similar to some hurt or pain that was unresolved from your very early years, like your childhood. And you can bring some compassion to that younger wounded child just because that memory just flashed up because my partner said, I'm going to bed now, when I was hoping we would spend a more intimate evening together, you know.
Right.
He's walking out, you know, and got my button pushed. And so just like if you and feel, it brings up old, unfinished emotional business. It's just bound to because the psyche wants to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And if we just give it a little attention, if we pause and feel, It's like in meditation. A lot of psychotherapy happens in meditation, just being quiet and listening inward. But we give them a very structured meditation, kind of like what you did a little while ago. Only this is structured to look and feel, and continue to feel and stay with the feeling, and then pretty soon whatever needs to come up, like maybe an old memory that needs to be embraced with love and compassion towards yourself. Those old memories will come up. We guide you how to do that, how to be a good parent to your wounded inner child. And then when you repair, when you fill out this little repair script that we give people, then you talk about that vulnerable child, and so that the other person realizes that they're not to blame. you're not blaming them for the fact that you were hurt or upset. Mm-hmm. That this is a kind of a hurt that's always been in you, just kind of ready to be triggered.
That's right.
But that you're feeling okay about the fact. You're like have some self-compassion, so you're not like blaming them for, oh, you know, you did it again. You put me down and you've ruined my day. You know, it takes all the blame. The tools we give take all the blame off the table and make everything very like normal and human. And it's just like you're confessing your hurt rather than attacking somebody because they hurt you.
But you really know your stuff.
I've been doing this 45 years.
I was going to ask you.
I was at Temple in 1962, so how old does that make me? I was already getting my graduate degree.
Yeah, because when you were saying that, and I'm
an old girl.
But it's funny because, you know, I'm looking at your pictures, and you just don't seem like you should know all this stuff.
I'm a 70-year-old teenager is the way I joke about it.
You're 70?
I'm 73.
No,
but I know. I do. I look great.
Yeah, that's right. You own it.
I have a great life. I'm just like one, you know, like I said, a 70-year-old teenager.
Now it makes sense because I'm like, how does she know this stuff?
From telling the truth.
Yeah.
And keeping my relationships repaired and not holding on to a lot of old
unfinished
business. You know, if you clear regularly, you know, you don't carry all that weight around.
Right.
You know?
I have a nice,
flexible body. You know, of course, yoga helps too.
Oh yeah. When you mentioned earlier about Temple and Bill Cosby, I'm like, well, maybe she went in some kind of special program. Like maybe you went in when you were like 15. I said something's not adding up. That's fantastic. What people living?
I'm not even worried about getting old.
That's wonderful.
I haven't gotten there yet, though.
That's wonderful. That really is.
I know. You know, 70 sounds really old to a lot of people, but really it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, you're living proof. That's great. Having a great time, too. Mm-hmm. Growing up, have you always wanted to help people or help relationships? Like, was that something that was always in you or what?
So. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was kind of always seen as somebody who's a little bit wise. It was funny, but even my parents would ask me for advice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I could ask them for advice, too, but they of course, I had that kind of childhood where I was empowered, and so that makes a huge difference. You know, when you were saying those affirmations during your meditation,
mm-hmm.
I'm listening, and I'm feeling them, and I'm thinking, this reminds me of my mom. My mom was like, you can do anything you put your mind to, she said to us kids, you know, and if you think you can do it, you can do it. So she really emphasized the power of thought.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of house I grew up in, so, you know, that helps too.
Very good. Well, congratulations on all your success.
Thank you.
And you're with New World Library, right?
Yes, that's the publisher, New World Library.
Aren't they the best?
They're a great publisher.
Really? Oh, you know, it's funny. I blame their company for the success of the show because 90% of the people are from them, or from New World Library, that I have on as guests. And you all kind of have, you're all different in your own ways. But for something that's almost like we talk about that golden thread, you all have that thing, whatever that New World Library thing is, you just feel it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You
yeah,
really
I think
do.
We're all about trying to make the world a better place, just like you are.
Yeah. Yes, 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 indeed. Well, wow, what a great show. This was fantastic. I really thank you for coming on and hope you'll come back.
Interview, yeah. Invite me back.
I sure will.
Talking to you, Darian.
It was wonderful. Thank you so much. So, yeah, that's it, guys. I look forward to being with you all next week. You've been listening to It's All About You, the radio program that's celebrating life, prosperity, and unlimited potential. And I'm your host, Darian Marshall, and my guest today was Susan Campbell, and she's author of the book, 5-Minute Relationship Repair. And you can learn more about Susan by going to www.susancampbell.com. And I look forward to being with you next week, and so it is.